Lord, we thank you this morning. We thank you for everyone that's here now, those that will join later, and those that will listen to the replays. We thank you because your word is forever settled in heaven. Let it be settled in our hearts this morning. The inspiration of the Almighty to bring us even that light that comes from your word and the understanding thereof also. For it is written, the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. So, Lord, take on the glory even this morning. And let everyone be edified. Give you, Lord, the praise and glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. The book of James. This is day 8 into that book, and we're only just finished with the second chapter. Because we called it a deep dive, so that means, you know, sometimes we'll take one subject and go a little deeper than what appears on the surface. Today we're going into chapter 3. For the preceding lessons, if you missed anything, any part, either part or whole, you can go back to the replays and check it out. Today I want to go to James chapter 3. And our title, the title of today's lesson is An Unruly Evil, That Deadly Tongue. That's right. That's what we want to cover this morning in this chapter of James 3. Praise the Lord. Well, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to it. Hallelujah. And I'll be reading from the King James, and we're going to go through it. James chapter 3, starting at verse 1. Praise the Lord. Everybody, please engage the lesson in the spirit. You know why? Well, Jesus said in John 6 and 63 that the flesh profits nothing. You know, it's a spirit that quickeneth, and the words of God, they are spirit and life. So just being here in the flesh doesn't mean anything unless you engage in the spirit. Those who are present don't have an advantage over those who are absent unless they engaged in the spirit. So engage in the spirit so that you may catch an understanding of what the Lord is saying. Praise the Lord. My brethren, he says, be not ye many of you masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Why do you say that? You know, masters and teachers, you know, people love to be called rabbi when Jesus talked about that and so forth. And, you know, those that teach, they're actually, you know, in danger, you know, of, you know, being, receiving a greater condemnation. I mean, Jesus said, you know, if you teach men and you do it, that's all right. You'll be counted great in the kingdom. But if you teach men and you don't do it, then you will be the least in the kingdom. So, I mean, that's a very risky situation. If you teach others something, but you yourself don't do it, then you will be the least in the kingdom. I don't want to be the least. Do you? No. So, by the grace of God, as I teach, I also pray that I will not be the least in the kingdom, which means I must do what I myself am teaching. So that is a very significant and profound lesson, you know, for us to understand. You know, when we say we are masters, then, well, that says, yeah, you you know better than somebody else. So, if you know better than somebody else, then you better keep what you are saying. Now, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 19, Jesus says, if anyone breaks the least of these commandments, but teaches others, then he shall be the least in the kingdom. You know, so, but if we teach and do, then we shall be great. Listen to this in the King James. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, you know, verse 19 of Matthew 5, which shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of God. So to be a master and a ruler in Israel, there were teachers. Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, when he told him about being born again, the man was confused. Jesus said, oh, art thou a master and a ruler in Israel, and thou knowest not these things? Well, because those were leaders, and they were rabbi, and they were teachers, and the masters, and so forth. So, you know, if you desire to be such, well, be careful now, because there comes a great deal of responsibility with it. Something many, many years ago, just coming into the kingdom, the gospel, and the ministry at a very early age, perhaps around 1920-ish. That was a scripture the Lord gave me that has kept me all my life. You know, and I have just thought to do the same. In the book of Ezra chapter 7, now this is not about me, I'm just saying here what the Lord taught me. In the book of Ezra, chapter 7 and verse 10, I found this scripture, and when I did, I laid it to heart. So many, many years ago, and I've always kept it tucked away in my heart. He said, Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. So the Lord showed me that, look, to be a teacher, first you seek the word of God, and then you yourself do it, and then teach it, you know. So this is what James is alluding to here. You know, if you're going to be a teacher, a master, a leader, or whatever, there's greater responsibility. You know, some people aspire to that, but they don't know that it carries a lot of responsibility. That's what James is saying. Because to whom much is given, from them shall much be required. So, going back, he just said that and dropped it. He didn't, you know, dwell too much into it. But he says, in many things we offend all. So, you find out while he's talking about masters here, why did I, you know, go in the direction of teaching? Well, because of the context of this whole chapter. Because right after this, he started to say, if any man offend not in word, you know, and teachers, you know, generally use their words to try to instruct others. And so we got to be careful, you know, what we speak. But then he turned around and went into a whole dimension, not just about teachers, but about this, you know, very tongue. So let's read it. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, same as a perfect man, and is able also to bridle the whole body. Well, let's find out if we can do that. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths so that they may obey us. You know, we turn about their whole body. You jerk the horse this way and that way. You know, and you know, the scripture says that we should not be like the horse or the mule, that the only way you can jerk, I mean, have them obey is to jerk them around like that. In the book of Psalm 32 verses 8 and 9, where the Lord promised to guide us with his eye and instruct us in the way that we should go in verse 8. Right after that, in verse 9, he says, look, you got to be careful, you know, be gentle to lead. Let the Holy Spirit be able to lead you. You know, if you are stubborn, you know, as a horse that, you know, you can't lead them gently, you got to put something, jerk them around and so forth like that. That's not a good thing. So he said, look, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou should go. Psalm 32 and 8. And I will guide you with my eye. But the next verse say, but be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, and whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, and, you know, jerk them around in order for them to obey you. Yeah, that's what James is talking about here. You know, so he says that, you know, he's using that comparison to bring out a viewpoint here. And we have to read all of it to understand what he is saying. You know, he said, look, if we are using bits and bridle in the horses' mouths so that they may obey us, and we use that to control them, then we also know that our mouth, something needs to be put in it to be able to control the body. And then he says, even the ships in the sea, you know, though they be so great, you know, some of these ships are massive. They're massive ships. They're so great and are driven of fierce winds. Yet are they turned about with a very small helm. You know, that's a little wheel that they turn, you know, just to turn this massive ship, you know, and the governor can turn it, you know, and any which way they want. And that massive ship is, I mean, you would think that some ships that are the size of many buildings, you would need something so massive to turn it around. But no, it's just a little round thing that they move. And it's so engineered that it can turn the whole ship. And so he's saying here that, you know, even so the tongue, even though it's a little member of the body, yet it boasted great things. And behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. You know, talking about fire, you know, all that is needed to destroy a lot of things is just a small fire. I mean, you don't need to light up the whole field. You know, when the grass is dry and brittle, just a little fire here in one little spot can spark and destroy the whole field. We see that a lot of times in Arizona during the summers, there's fires, wildfires that break out. And they warn people not to be careless and just throw. I mean, we have people that have caused fires unknowingly. Even a cigarette butt that people, those that smoke, they just throw that thing out, you know, when they're out in the woods or something without paying attention. The thing is still smoldering. And the next thing you know, a fire starts. It's a little fire. And before you know it, you know, becomes a wildfire. That's so hard to control. And James is saying here that, look, even a little fire can kindle a great deal, you know, of things. So he said, in the same way that tongue is a fire, can be a world of iniquity. Said, so is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and set on the fire of hell if you are not careful. Now, every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and things in the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. I mean, people are even tamed, you know, vipers and snakes and things like that. You know, those vipers are coiled up like that. They're ready to strike. People have tamed it. They have tamed lions and animals and wild beasts and things like that. You can go to suckers. You can see them. Some people even have some of these wild beasts for pets in their on their homes. I mean, these things have been trained and tamed. You take the fury out of them and you tame them and to become docile. You know, and people have done these things. But he's saying here, well, but the tongue can no man tame. Nobody can tame this tongue. It is an unruly evil and is full of deadly poison. This same tongue we use in blessing God. Say, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith we curse men, who are made after the similitude of God. Wow. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. I mean, people use this same tongue to pray. They use this same tongue to shout the victory and praise the Lord and speak with tongues. But then, you know, use this same tongue to be hurtful and say bitter things against your neighbor, your spouse, your mother, your sister, your brother, your children, your parents, co-workers or whomsoever. I mean, this tongue can get quickly out of control. And he said, look, of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. He said, well, my brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, I ask you, bear olive berries? Or either even a vine, can it bear figs? You know, so look, in the same way, no fountain can at the same time yield set salt water and fresh water. I mean, either make the tree good or evil, or either way, you know. Jesus talks about that and so forth. Now, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and, I mean, weakness of wisdom. Well, let's go back over these lessons that I've been talking about, the tongue, these verses and so forth. But I will just read through the rest of the chapter. If you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom, you know, descended not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. So there is a kind of wisdom that is sensual, devilish, you know. But there, and he says, where there is envying and strife, you know, that's the devilish kind of wisdom that's behind it. There's confusion and every evil work when there is envying and strife. But the wisdom that is from above, look at all the characteristics of the wisdom that's from above. You know, it says first, it's pure. Then it's peaceable. It is gentle. It is easy to be entreated. It is full of mercy and good fruits. It is without partiality. We talked about partiality the other day. And without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. I'm going to speak more about wisdom in a little later on. But today, let's go back to the tongue. I just wanted to read through that chapter. The tongue, I call it here, based on this lesson, an unruly evil. The deadly tongue. And we've read that in the first 12 verses of this chapter 3 of James. Let's see some of the things that Jesus and the scriptures would say about the tongue. In Matthew chapter 12, you know, Jesus was talking about certain things, you know, how the Jews, you know, would always accuse him and his disciples of one thing or the other. But here he says, O generation of vipers. That's verse 34 of Matthew 12. How can ye, being evil, speak good things? Now, he's talking about the tongue. We use the tongue to speak. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Now, A man, I mean a good man, out of the good treasure of his heart will bring forth good things out of his mouth. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, he said, that every idle word. So Jesus is talking about the tongue here. These four verses here is all about the tongue. You know, every idle word a man shall speak shall give account. They shall give account of it in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Now, Jesus is talking about words here and the tongue and how we use it, you know. And in other places, it talks about, you know, if you just use this, your tongue, to abuse people, you may be in serious danger. You might be in danger, you know. If you shall call your brother a fool, you might be in danger, you know, of the judgment. And if you call your brother some other thing for without a cause, and you just snap at them and so forth, you might even be in danger of hellfire. I mean, can you imagine Jesus saying things like this? Let's read it in Matthew chapter 5. On the so-called Sermon on the Mount, you get down to about verse 22. You see that just trying to show you that Jesus talked about this tongue too. Just like it wasn't just James that talked about it. Jesus talked about it as well. He said, look, I say unto you, you know, if you shall be angry with your brother without a cause, you shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raka, you know, or call him idiot or this and that, you know, shall be in danger of the council. But if you shall say thou fool, be in danger of hellfire. I mean, Jesus is talking about how we use our words. So it's not just James that speaks about this thing. Even Jesus spoke about it. He said, your words matter. What you say out of your mouth is a reflection of what's in your heart. That's what Jesus was saying in Matthew 12. He said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when people say, well, I didn't mean it. Well, sure you did. Because once you said it, you meant it. Because it came from your heart. You were thinking it first. You know, that's why we got to pray that our hearts will be circumcised. You know, that even things that are, you know, prepared in our hearts, even before we speak them out, you know, they will come from the Holy Spirit. The preparations of the heart. Amen. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 1. And the answer of the tongue. Well, it's from the Lord. It's not always from the Lord, but it can be. If we, you know, devote our attention to giving, we devote our minds to giving attention to this subject, to get our mouths and our tongue trained. We're going to talk about that in a bit. The preparation of the heart and the answer of the tongue. Things start first in the heart before we speak it out. But once you speak it out, it's very, very hard to get it back. And some people say, well, I take that back. Well, you can't take it back. He already spoke it. It's better for you not to speak it in the first place. The things that defile you, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15, verses 16 to 20. You know, the Jews, as always saying one thing or the other about Jesus and his disciples. You know, and Jesus said, well, you know, the things that go into, you know, sometimes they will say, well, you know, why do you guys eat with unwashing hands? And so forth. And Jesus said, look, that which entereth in at the mouth, goes into the belly, and is cast out into the draught. You know, so when you eat and so forth, that's not what defiles you spiritually. You may get sick if you eat something bad, but that's only in your body. But the spiritual defilement, Jesus says, comes from what proceeds out of your mouth. He said, out of the mouth, you know, he said, those things which proceed out of the mouth and come from the heart, those are what defiles a man. You know, so Jesus, many times he spoke about this tongue, you know, how we use it. And, you know, he said, out of the heart proceed even evil thoughts. You thought it first, then you said it or you did it. Even murders, even adulteries, even fornications. I mean, look at all the things that Jesus is calling out, you know. And he said thefts and false witness and blasphemies and all these things are the things that defile a man. But to eat with unwashing hands, that doesn't defile a man. You may get sick, but it won't defile you as far as the Lord is concerned. But the things that you speak out of your mouth, those things can defile you. And every idle word, Jesus said, Matthew 12 and 36 through 37, every idle word shall be judged. Every idle word. Wow. What's an idle word? I mean, it's basically words that don't profit in righteousness. You know, words that are spoken either, you know, out of the flesh, bitterness, anger, and works of the devil or the flesh. So these things will come into judgment anyway. So we got to be very careful. There's a lot of scripture that talks about this tongue, you know, and I am going to read to us some other scriptures from the book of Proverbs. Remember, for by thy words thou shalt be justified. This tongue can also be used for good things. It's not just bad things, but unless it's brought under control, the bad aspect of this tongue usually wins. You know, and examine yourself. Everybody that's true to themselves will know that the bad part of this tongue usually wins unless it's brought under control. But the Holy Spirit can bring it under control. We're going to get into that in a bit. You know, say your words can justify you and your words can also condemn you. Matthew 12 and 37. You know, so let's look at some of the things also, you know, that the other parts of the scriptures would speak about this tongue. Remember, we're talking about the unruly evil, a deadly tongue. Now, the tongue doesn't always have to be like that, but it can also have good. But anyway, let's see what the scriptures say about that. You know, Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21. There is power in this tongue. You know, how do you use it? Depends on whether your tongue is tamed by the Holy Spirit, because no man can tame that tongue, but the Holy Spirit can do all things. But, you know, how do we use this tongue? It says death and life, Proverbs 18 and 21, are in the power of the tongue. So on the one hand, you can use it to bring life. Can speak life into things, speak life into people, speak grace into their lives, or you can use the tongue and allow this deadly poison, you know, to bring death into the lives of people because of the evil we speak over them and so on. So he's saying death and life are in the power of the tongue. You be careful how you use this tongue. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 3 tells us about how to keep our mouth. He said, he that keepeth his mouth shall keep his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. So many verses, we're going to call out some of them that tell us about, look, how to be careful with this tongue, you know, because James calls it an unruly evil. Well, you know, the writer of the book of Proverbs, Solomon and so forth, talks about a lot of evil things that can be out of this tongue. Now, if you use the tongue right, it doesn't always have to be evil, you know, but You have to know how to do it, in order for it to not be evil. You know, a soft answer in verse chapter 15 of Proverbs, he talks about, you know, will turn away wrath. So you can use your tongue sometimes to actually bring some good. But grievous words out of the mouth, same tongue, will stir up anger. It's like putting, you know, more fuel on the fire, you know. There's already fire brewing. The tongue will, I mean, can create more stuff. I mean, even, you know, couples, you know, I mean, things they might say to one another that can cause problems, you know, it can be grievous words, but you can also use your words to be a blessing to your spouse, to your children, to your parents. And so this lesson is talking about, you know, even though we're talking about the evil and the deadly poison that's in the tongue, well, we also want to talk about the good that can be in it. But I'm going to do a follow-up lesson to focus on that part of it. Now, the, you know, if we use our words right, like I said, it can actually be a tree of life. Proverbs 15 and verse 4. And we will talk about that more in a subsequent lesson. But the grievous words, the evil that is in words, let's focus on that first today. In the book of Proverbs chapter 18, talks about tail bearing. What's a tail bearer? A tail bearer is a meddler. You know, something that doesn't concern them or doesn't concern the person that they are going to speak to, they carry the matter and go tell it. And usually it's something evil that they are telling. Yeah, they're not telling something good. They're telling something evil. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. Proverbs 18 and verse 8. You see? In fact, let me read it from verse 7. A fool's mouth is his destruction. So that's how deadly this tongue can be. And his lips are the very snare of his soul. He's a fool because he opens his mouth wide. Doesn't know how to keep his mouth, just say anything, you know, and without thinking, just say it, and can cause a lot of harm. Now, the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down to the innermost parts of their belly. So, talebearing is a thing that should be frowned upon. It's none of your concern. Leave it alone. And it's none of their concern that you're trying to tell it to. Leave it alone as well. You know, discretion is a virtue that many people do not have, but that we need. We need in the kingdom, we need in the body of Christ, we need just around us. Discretion, knowing what to speak and what not to speak, knowing how much information to divulge or not, knowing what to say to others concerning someone else's matter or not, you know, discretion. A lot of people don't have it, but we need it. You know, now, the talebearer, their words are like wounds that go down into the soul. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 9. Many things in this book of Proverbs that call out the negative use of, you know, of speaking and the tongue. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love. That's the good part. But he that repeated a matter, especially a matter that doesn't concern them or concern the next person they're repeating it to, you know, will separate very friends, you know, leave it alone. He's saying, you repeat the matter, I mean, leave it alone. You can separate very friends even from just repeating the matter, you know, so leave it alone. Talked about that, you know, I mean, look at even that. The book of Leviticus chapter 19, a lot of statutes in that chapter, many things that God spoke to the children of Israel, what they should do, what they shouldn't do, you know, how, you know, to relate up and down to, I mean, sideways and every way with their brothers. But look at this in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 16. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer. among thy people. You know, Ateo Biara, you know, it has been said jokingly that, look, you know, anytime that you want, you know, to something to be broadcast, you don't even have to tell it yourself. Just tell it to a tail bearer. Tell it to a tail bearer and tell them that they should keep it to themselves. Well, the next thing you know, it's going to be all over the place. You know, so because they are a tail bearer and they lend themselves to as an instrument of the devil and they don't realize it. I pray that this thing is not even in the body of Christ. You find yourself always telling tales that don't belong. It's none of your business, none of your concern. It's gossip and tale bearing. You know, it said, look, thou shalt not go up and down. You know, tale bearer. There was a city that some of these apostles went to and he said, look, there's nothing they do here other than to find a tale to tell. You know, go up and down, tell a tale, find something to tell about somebody or something. Now, that's not the way that God wants us to use our mouth. You know, we have to be very careful on how we use this mouth. It can be a blessing, but it can be used as a cursing as well. It is important to understand that there is can be serious evil in this tongue. A false witness. Proverbs 6 and verse 19. You know, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. These are among some of the things that God hates. Look at what he says in this thing. From verse 16 of Proverbs 6. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven, an abomination unto him. A proud look, that's number one. A lying tongue, I see the tongue is there already. And hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devised evil and wicked imaginations. Well, whatever that heart devises, the tongue will eventually speak. Feet that sweet to run to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. And he that soweth discord among the brethren. If you check out these seven things, you see the role that the tongue plays in most of them. You know, the first one is called a proud look. Okay. The second one is a lying tongue. The tongue is already there. Hands that shed innocent blood. Well, innocent blood, there's false witnesses that come up against that person. You know, false witness, a heart that devises wicked imaginations. Feet, false witness, speaketh lies. You know, sowing discord. The tongue plays a role in four, five, or six of these seven things that is spoken here that the Lord hates. So we need to be very careful. But then, how can we tame the tongue? If the tongue is such an evil, I mean, with the same tongue, we bless the Lord. With the same tongue, we curse, man. How can we tame this tongue then? You know, we see there is a powerful, you know, powerful story in Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah said in the year in which King Uzzah died, you know, he had a vision of the glory of the Lord. And as he was experiencing this vision, a lot of things happened. Let's read some of it. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1. In the year that King Uzzah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims, and each one had six wings, and 20 covered his feet, 20 his face, and 20 he did fly. One cried to another and said, holy, 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 the Lord of hosts is holy. The whole earth is full of his glory. And all the posts of the door were moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. I mean, there was a lot of glory of the Lord moving around and stuff. And then Isaiah said, woe is me, I am undone for my eyes. You know, he said, look, I am a man of unclean lips. He recognized that. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. You know, that tongue is here that Isaiah needs to deal with. For my eyes have seen the King, even the Lord of hosts. Now, before we get into, you know, how the Lord helped him to tame his tongue here, let's digress a little bit and see what happened to Isaiah here when he saw the glory of God. This is what the revelation of the true glory of God or the true revelation of the glory of God does in our lives. It makes you feel unworthy. That's right. You know, anyone that say, I've seen the glory of God, and they come out boastful and everything, they really haven't seen the glory of God. You know, you come to almost nothing when you see the glory of God. Make you feel worthless, you know, unworthy, and so on. Well, why? You know, is that what was intended? No, but that's because his glory so much surpasses us that we feel like nothing in his presence. You know, the analogy that I've given a few times is like, look, here in Arizona, it's always usually very sunny. Most every day is sunny. And, you know, when you're indoors, you may not, if you have your drapes drawn and so forth, you may never see the sun rays coming in. But when you pull back those drapes and let the sun rays shine in through into the room, then all of a sudden you see these dust particles flying around. And it's almost as if the sun rays are what causing the particles to fly around. But no, the sun rays is just what causing you to see the dust. The dust was there the whole time. You just didn't see it until the sun rays shined into the room. See, that's the way it is, the glory of God. You know, when the glory of God is revealed, then all of a sudden we see areas where we fall short. But what does the Holy Spirit do? Does he condemn you? Absolutely not. He brings you to the grace of God, you know, for cleansing, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness to build you up. But first, you know, His glory will reveal the areas in us that, you know, are falling short. So this man, when he saw the glory, I mean, he was like, oh my goodness, I am a man of unclean lips. This is my tongue. I need to deal with it. All of a sudden, he's thinking about, you know, his lips. I mean, of all the things he could think about in the presence of the Lord. Well, you know, that was the work of the Holy Spirit even in him, trying to bring him to the place where God can use him, because he was going to be a powerful prophet and the Lord needs to use him. And God had to deal with that tongue. And how did the Lord deal with it here? He said, well, you know, one of those seraphims and so forth that he was looking at, he said, look, they flew to him and having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongues of the altar. I mean, there was literally fire there. And this seraphim went and took one of the live coals. And he said, you come to me, laid it upon my mouth. It's like branding that tongue. You know how the cattle ranchers and so forth, they brand their cattle. They put the hot iron, you know, the brand thing on it and put it in the fire for a long time. When it's red hot, they bring it out and stick it to the, you know, on the backside of that cattle. Burn that thing into it. And they call it, you know, branding. They brand it. And, so, I mean, it's an indelible mark. Nobody can steal that cattle because it's now branded. Now, this is Holy Ghost branding of the tongue here. This man's tongue needed to be brought under control of the Holy Spirit. And so, seraphim took tongues of fire from the altar, laid it upon his tongue. It's no wonder that, you know, when people come into an experience with the real baptism of the Holy Spirit, the Lord also take a hold of their tongue. It's a branding. You know, it's a sign that, look, that tongue, it needs to be dealt with. That's why people, you know, speak in tongues when they receive the Holy Spirit. God wants to take that over. If you speak with tongues, the true tongues of the Spirit, more often than you speak, you will be less likely to speak something amiss. So Holy Spirit takes control of that tongue. And we see Isaiah here branding off his tongue. And he said, well, and he told him, he said, look, I have, you know, by this thing touching your lips today, your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged. But why? Why didn't he lay it upon his heart? Why didn't he lay this thing upon his head? Why did he lay it upon his mouth? it was his, all that was needed was his mouth. You know, took this branding. He could have laid it on his heart and say the sin that is in your heart is purged. But no, he could have laid it upon his head and say your thinking and so forth is corrected. No, could have laid it even upon his eyes and so on. But he laid it upon his tongue. And that's important and powerful stuff. If the Lord can get a hold of that, he knew he can use this man. So a branded that tongue. We all need that Holy Ghost branding on our tongue. That's one way that, you know, because nobody can tell me except the Holy Spirit. But we have to yield it to him. You know, so we see how it was branded there by, you know, by the Holy Spirit. The angel, a seraphim actually took a live coal of fire depicting what the Holy Spirit will do for us. Galatians chapter 15. I mean, sorry, chapter 5, verse 16 talks about, you know, the works of the flesh and then leading into, you know, these, the fruit of the Spirit and so forth. You know, so it says this is how to control that flesh. Walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one against the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, so the works of the flesh, you know, especially in the area of the tongue, how do you deal with it? Well, you walk in the Spirit. You talk in the Spirit. You lean upon the Spirit. You read the Word of God more. You speak the Word of God more, you know, and align your mind, align your thinking, align up your words. The psalmist said, let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, let them be aligned, let them be acceptable before thee, you know, and so forth, you know. And we are commanded how to instruct and use our tongue. You know, Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6 says, let your speech be seasoned. You know, let your speech be with grace and seasoned with salt. I mean, let means control it, you know, be intentional about it. You know, don't allow it to drift off into unwholesomeness. You know, take control of it. Well, basically, give it to the Holy Spirit. James chapter 1 verse 19 says, be slow to speak. No, we read that the other day. Slow to speak, swift to hear. We got to be slow to speak. Take your time before you say something, because once you say it, it's difficult to withdraw it. You know, and it says, look, grievous wounds. Even when you withdraw it, you know, the wound, sometimes a wound on the skin, when it heals, it leaves a scar. So, you know, grievous things that have been spoken and said, you know, even people say, well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it and so forth. Well, that's okay. Well, that's fine. But, you know, sometimes it's not really fine because it leaves a scar. You know, they will remember those, you know, it's like vitriolic things that come out of the mouth of people, poisonous stuff. You know, it's a wound. And it can leave even a scar, even when there's some healing, probably through the grace of God and some forgiveness and so forth. They try to deal with that. But sometimes it leaves a scar, you know, and the scarring, too much scarring of the tissues and so forth cause a problem. You know, so let's avoid these things, you know, be slow to speak. Measure your words. Proverbs chapter 10. And verse 19 says, look, when you speak too much, there's going to be a problem in it somehow, right? And the multitude of words that wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. We'll talk about that, you know, and so forth. We'll talk about the good part of the tongue later on. Maybe I'll do that tomorrow. But today, I want to focus on the evil side, you know, evil side. When we allow the tongue to go on a rampage, you can't control that tongue. Well, you know, it's not a good thing. So we need to yield the tongue to the Holy Spirit. And I can go on and on about the negative part of this tongue. But I want to also deal with the pleasant words that can come from the tongue. And we'll do that tomorrow. But today, let me summarize the things that we're talking about in this lesson. How this tongue can be, you know, it's an electric tongue sometimes. It can shock. I mean, sometimes you'll be surprised how what words actually come out of people's mouths. And people say things. They just open their mouth. They say some stuff. You know, I mean, if there are people in the world, well, maybe no surprise because they don't have the Holy Spirit. But sometimes you'll be surprised that even believers, you know, how we just open our mouth and just say stuff. So we got to be really careful what we say. From this day forward, let's pray that the Holy Spirit will help us to tame that tongue. James says nobody can tame it. Well, didn't say the Holy Spirit can't tame it. There's no man. Well, Holy Spirit, he can do all things. Holy Spirit can tame that tongue. And the Holy Spirit will show you how by leading you into being more prayerful and praising the Lord. You praise the Lord, you know, a lot. You'll be confident in his presence. You speak less about others. You know, God will satisfy you. Confidence when you're praising the Lord. And then the Lord will show you how to tame that tongue. Say less about things that don't concern you in the first place. You know, speak evil of no man. And if you're going to say anything, well, say something good about them. And you have nothing to say, well, then don't say it. You know, and don't even think it. Look, you say, well, I can't control my thinking. Well, absolutely, you can. You know, you just don't let it fester. That thought may drop in like that, but you have to deal with it and discard it right away. You can't control the thought from dropping in, but you can most certainly control yourself from dwelling on that thought. You know, Philippians chapter 4 verse 8 tells us, you know, how you can channel your thinking. You know, don't say, well, you know, channel your thinking, he said. He said, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, there be any praise, think on these things. In other words, channel your thoughts into things that are true, into things that are honest. Now, true and honest, those are not the role of a talebearer, you know, so. Don't even mess with that. Things that are just, things that are pure, things that are lovely, good report, that's praise, that's virtue. I mean, any things that are praiseworthy. To channel your thoughts into these things, you know, and frown at all kinds of evil. Don't listen. Don't even listen to it. Don't be an accomplice in tale-bearing. Or a tale-bearer needs tail hearers. you hear me? Tail bearer needs tail hearers in order to flourish. You know, so, but don't do it. Don't give them even room to do that. You know, we need to get rid of this thing. If you don't give them a place, then they will have no place. If nobody wants to hear it, then they will be dismissed. You know, so that's what can discourage a talebearer when there is no one, you know, to listen to their talebearing. Then they will be, they will be dismissed. You know, say, look, when they come around you, you frown on that. You don't give them any way, you know, to even flourish. You dismiss that right away. Let's do our part in putting an end to tale-bearing gossip, that's, you know, something you don't have to listen to. And at the same time, we work on ourselves, you know. You don't have to be the tale-bearer. You don't have to be the one that's, you know, dividing or separating, you know, very friends. You don't have to be the one whose words are grievous wounds. But you can be the one whose words are like a tree of life, and pleasantness, and so forth. So let's watch what we say and how we say it, because it could be an unruly evil, and it could be a deadly poison. I want to read Proverbs 11:13. I want to read something in Proverbs 26 as well. So let me just read this quickly. You know, again, still talking about, you know, this thing about tail bearing and all the like. Proverbs 11 and 13. You know, a tail bearer revealeth secrets. Remember, I talked about, you know, using discretion. Proverbs 26 and 22. It talks about the words of a talebearer as wounds. I may have read that one, but you know, they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. So we need to be careful about that. There's a lot of verses about this topic in the Bible. Proverbs 20 and 19 is another one. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. You know, don't even give him a platform. Praise the Lord. There are many things, admonitions of how we can help curb this problem. And let's not be partakers. Be part of the problem, but part of the solution. In Jesus' name. Now, there's more to be said on this, the use of the tongue. Tomorrow, by God's grace, I'll cover pleasant words and the flip side of the tongue that has become tamed by the Holy Spirit. That's right. You know, but today, I'm talking about the one that is untamed, you know, that is just unruly. Our life doesn't have to be unruly. Well, you know, what's the work of the Holy Spirit then? If we say, well, you know, this is the way it is, and it is what it is. You know, no, it isn't what it is. It was what it was, but now the Holy Spirit can change that. You know, so that's why we come to the Lord. Let the Holy Spirit have a fresh start. Give us a fresh start and correct things. Help us correct these things, you know, that are wrong. But first, we must recognize that that tongue can be a deadly evil. And if you don't know how to use it, it can create problems, you know. But when we know how to use it to minister grace and so forth, we'll talk about that later, it can be a real blessing. So today I want to pray before I turn it over for discussions. I want to pray over the room that, look, this unruly evil, this deadly tongue, let it not be a part of us. You know, get a hold of yourself and control your tongue and speak less. You know, multitude of words, there's going to be some evil. You find yourself, you speak too much, there's going to be problems. you know, refrain. You know, even a fool, you know, is considered wise when he holds his mouth, you know, a toad. You know, so hold your peace. Sometimes, you know, when you answer and shoot from the hip, it's a bad thing. You know, Proverbs 18 and 13 will tell you that. He said, look, it's folly and shameful to answer a matter even before you hear it. I mean, you just stuck before you have even heard all of it. You know, we all need help in that area. You know, listen more than speaking. Don't be quick to speak. Be slow to speak, we're told. You know, but quick to hear. Someone once said, they said, well, maybe that's the reason God gave us two ears, but one tongue. Well, we can't even handle this one tongue. So let alone two of it. But you have, you know, twice as many, you know, in the hearing. So you could probably do twice as much in the hearing as you do in the speaking, since you have two ears versus one mouth. So be slow to speak and swift to hear. I am going to pray over the room now, and I want us to ask the Holy Spirit to help us. Corrupt communication. Scripture says, let it not come out of your mouth. You know, corrupt communication in Ephesians 4 and 29 could be any number of things. You know, could be some of these things we've said, you know, today, you know, and the worst thing that you can do is to use your mouth to abuse somebody or to curse them out. You know, and we hear a lot of cursing, you know, today. You're driving down the road, someone cuts you off. You know, people curse out, you know, and do all kinds of things. You know, these things ought not to be among believers. James said, look, this same mouth that you're going to use in praising the Lord, don't let it be used in cursing people and do saying foul communication out of your mouth. Don't do it. You know, believers should not use foul words out of their mouth. Should not speak angrily without, you know, and curse out people who are made in the similitude of God. You know, should be careful about their words, because they can be, grievous words can be wounds, you know, that can really hurt people. And a lot of people have been hurt by what others said. You know, not only did, but sometimes said. Even the things we say about people, you know, either to them or behind their backs, still bearing, can cause a lot of harm. These things have been in the body of Christ, and we need to get rid of them. So let me pray, and we will yield for further discussion. Father, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit, He's the one that convicts us. He never condemns us, but He'll convict us. So when the Spirit of truth shall come, shall convict us. You know, and He will convict us today of areas where we are falling short in dealing with His tongue. And may we receive strength to yield to the Lord. He'll help us. It's like Isaiah had his tongue branded. Let our tongues also be branded by tongues of fire from the altar of the Spirit, the fire of the Holy Spirit. So you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. Let that fire come and tame this tongue, Lord, in Jesus' name, that with the tongue we may rather bless than curse. With the tongue, we may rather speak life and be like a tree of life than, you know, grievous words. That we will be taught to be swift to hear and slow to speak. We pray that our mouths will be seasoned with grace and with salt. We know how to answer every man. And we pray that you will help us, Lord, to check our words before we speak them and speak only words of grace. I come against the spirit of tail-bearing. Lord, in the name of Jesus, the spirit of gossip and tail-bearing among the body of Christ, I come against it in Jesus' name. Let it not even flourish. And help us, Lord, not to allow ourselves to be part of that. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray that these words that we are told, these words, they go down into the soul. I mean, they're grievous. They go down to the soul. I pray that the Lord will help us in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, thank you for today's lesson. As we talk about this some more right now, give us understanding and give us grace. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.